effervescence and stimulants. So the hearts kicked back into life twice, as if dragged into the universe on a chain. Bjorn's great chest shuddered, and he drew breath again. The strike cruiser burst from the warp dangerously close to Fenris, so desperate were they for speed. The hangars of the Valgard had already been prepared for the lander, which dropped into the atmosphere like a falling star. Bjorn, or what remained of him, was hurried into the Fleshmaker's laboratories, chambers that had seen 1,000 fallen warriors go under the deep-plunged knife. They laid him out in the central chamber, spare with white tiles, glimmering with green-edged lumens, and reeking of antiseptic and engine oils. Necadendrites clattered down from the ceiling, held in place by great iron bracings. Servitors scurried silently to Winterclaw's side, proffering rows of scalpels and saws, and leather-masked thralls hung back, poised to fetch whatever salves and potions their master demanded. Cargrim knew better than to interfere. His task had been to lay the wards against Maleficarum, to protect the fragile soul from the snares of the warp as they plied the void depths. Now the struggle was one of flesh and blood, and in the caverns of the demon-warded Eat, there was no longer danger from the howling terrors of the underverse. Cargrim watched Winterclaw work.
Tell me.
Winterclaw had removed his helm, and his face was shiny with sweat. He operated deftly, casting glances at picto lenses before adding another line.
He ought to be gone.
The wolf priest yanked on a nutrient tube and threaded a metal pin underneath.
He will lose his legs, his right arm, and his stomach. The bleeding does not stop. He is on the edge.
Cargrim watched grimly. The lower half of Bjorn's body, now sawn free of its armor, was little more than a pulpy, gory mass, flecked with the white of broken bone. His lower torso was ripped to ribbons, and the entrails glistened within, pulsing as his heart labored. Winterclaw's machines now breathed for him, wheezing mechanically down segmented tubes. The wolf priest reached for a circular saw.
I will open the chest. He is bleeding to death and the wound is within.
Cargrim watched the fine-toothed blades rev up.
That will end him.
He is already ended. What do you think we can accomplish here? He will never bear a blade again. It would be a mercy to slit his throat.
Cargrim knew where the anger came from. The wolves did not keep their warriors alive at all costs. Those who could fight again were saved. Those who could not were given the Allfather's mercy.
There is another choice.
Winterclaw paused, perfectly aware of what the options were.
Has Blademaker answered?
He stands ready. Give the word and they will prepare the vessel.
Still, Winterclaw did not move. It was a grim fate for any warrior of the rout, but for the Great Wolf it would be unprecedented. There was, in any case, no guarantee of success. The knowledge needed for insertion was already faltering, and those who had created the machines were long since dead.
Would the rout serve a leader in a tomb?
If he lived and his soul were preserved, they would follow him into the Eye itself.
But what if his mind is changed? Half of those placed in the vessel go mad. Do you wish to go down in the annals as the one who gave the chapter a demented Great Wolf?
Down on the slab, Bjorn's head shifted, and a fresh line of blood ran down from his lips. Warning runes flashed red along the whole bank of Medicai units, and more stims were automatically pumped down the feeder tubes. Cargrim leaned over the body, a heap of tangled bone and sinew now, barely held together by the pins and vices of Winterclaw's art. The progenoids could be extracted if he gave the command. There was a kind of immortality in the sacred gene seed, one that would be of benefit to the chapter for eternity. Perhaps that would be enough. Perhaps they had already done more than loyalty demanded. Winterclaw revved the circular saw again, aiming the cutting edge along the center line of Bjorn's fused ribcage. That was the only substantial part of his skeletal frame that remained intact. Once the cut was made, the only outcomes could be death, a wretched augmetic half-life, or interment as one of the fallen.
Do this, and there can be no return.
You say it as if there were a choice.
Winterclaw guided the saw to the bone. As the blades bit, the sound was like the shriek of banshees. With a crack, the structure broke, and Bjorn's chest lay open in a swimming mire of blood and muscle, the swollen organs shivering within. Winterclaw gazed down at the mess of tissue. For a moment he said nothing, his mind working furiously. Cargrim, let him make the judgment. This was his realm. Now readings streaked across the pictures, all of them marked in red, none of them comforting. Finally, the wolf priest's shoulders sagged, and Cargrim knew what the course must be.
Then we are decided.
Winterclaw nodded.
Summon Blademaker. The great wolf will be interred.
Hours passed in the Hall of Warriors. More was drunk, and the mood became febrile. The chanting of the sagas became erratic. Brawls broke out at the far end of the massive chamber, and the smoke churned up from the braziers, making the air thick and acrid. For a time, Russ had whipped up the fervor himself, standing at the head of the high table, bellowing along with the recited sagas. He swore and spat, grinning at the memory of those great souls who had gone, and raised a curved horn to their memory. His retinue sat with him, tearing into slabs of fire-blackened meat, slamming their fists on the wooden board in drumbeat unison. Blood ran down their beards and sweat glistened on their scarred faces. Bjorn had made an attempt. He had taken his station at the far end of the table, and meat had been thrown before him. He knew the sagas just as well as his brothers, and he raised his drinking horn to those who had gone. He listened to the long screeds of praise to the Allfather and the ritual denunciation of the serpent, Horus. As time went on, though, his dark mood returned. The drink tasted sour in his mouth. Something had changed. Even as the flames leapt higher, a chill wind ran through the hall. The brawls became surly. Blades were drawn and not replaced in scabbards. Shadows pooled at the base of the pillars, darkening, creeping like tar around the old stone. Soon, even Russ noticed it. He withdrew from the recitations and supped in silence. The Wolf King presided over a growing storm, sitting like one of the gods of legend as the tempest swirled around him. His blue eyes went dull, his weapon-blistered hands pressed into the board before him, as if he would squeeze the grain apart. Bjorn watched, chewing on the strands of meat, ignoring the roar of his brothers as the hall descended into a massed churn of acrimony.
He has sensed it now. A fell wind from beyond the mountain, bleeding into the cracks of the fang. He cannot ignore it forever.
No more!
Russ clambered to his feet, scattering the iron salvers before him. His voice rose above all others, swelling into the smoke-choked heights and making the flags of the hall floor tremble. They were stilled. The warriors of the rout, more than 2,000 of them in defiance of the Codex, turned to face the high table. A faint hiss sighed from somewhere, like the whisper of something hidden, something subtle. The blood had gone from Russ's face. Where he had been ruddy, flushed with Mjod, now he looked like an ice specter. All noticed it.
We come here to celebrate the Allfather. We come to remember his sacrifice and his ascension from the world of the senses and his victory over my brother, the traitor.
The words echoed dully from the vaults like a blade being hammered against the stone, and there was no celebration in them. Bjorn pushed his meat away.
We remember the dead, who even now gather in the Oververse, their blades sharp, their aim keen. They are better than we are, for they perished in the war to end all wars, and their souls have been purified. What of us, those who remain, wallowing in the dregs that fallen gods have left us?
There was a dangerous look in the Primarch's eyes, just as he had once worn when fighting the Alpha Legion in the aftermath of Prospero.
We have grown fat! We have the beasts within us, but it has never yet been mastered!
His warriors became uneasy. Their Primarch had never spoken to them in this way. Russ grabbed his drinking horn, and the Mjord slopped from its bronze rim as he held it aloft.
So, let us celebrate my father's ascension. Let us remember what he was able to accomplish. Let us remember what he built and what he foresaw, and then what he lost and how he failed. Do not mourn the fact that he no longer works among us, for the galaxy is too small to accommodate such souls. He was of an age of gods, and we are slumped in an age of mortals.
Bjorn looked out at his brothers and saw the uncertainty etched on their faces.
The light of the stars will fade. This place will grow old, and the ice will crack it. We will forget, no matter how much the skulls tell the old tales. What battles are left for us, like the ones before? My fallen brothers are gone. Malkador is gone. The liches cluster around the Golden Throne and whisper of deeds done before they were born, as if it were they who achieved them.
The Primarch looked unsteady on his feet, and his eyes went glassy.
A doubt of all this, one thing remains true. We were not on Tether. We were not there when the palace fell. And that shame will pursue us for eternity.
The drinking horn fell from his fingers, rolling across the board, its contents spilling.
It remains unfinished.
He was no longer looking at his warriors. He spoke to himself, or to some presence that was unseen.
I have waited too long building this mountain, squabbling with Gilliman. I will not grow old, feeble, limping around a crumbling inheritance. I have an oath to keep. There are beasts left to slay.
Bjorn felt a cold sweat break out across his skin, recognizing the words he had used. Russ's grizzled head lifted, seized by premonition. His gaze ran across the hall, inscrutable, wry, and a smile danced on his fanged face. It was as if he were seeing things from long ago, or perhaps yet to come.
Listen but closely, brothers. There shall come a time, far from now, when the chapter itself is dying, and our foes shall gather to destroy us. Then, my sons, I shall listen for your call in whatever realm holds me. And come I shall, no matter what the laws of life and death forbid. At the end, I will be there for the final battle. For the wolf time!
A ripple ran through the entire chamber, a thrill like the kill urge. Russ's retinue got to their feet, their predator eyes shining. Russ gave the battle signal for muster, began to move, and they followed him down from a high table. Bjorn made to join them to take his place at the head of the company. Once he was back at Russ's side again, he could ask the questions that now clamored inside him. He could demand to know what Russ had seen and why his mood had changed so violently, and what came next, and who they were hunting. But Russ turned just as the last of his guard joined him, leaving Bjorn exposed on the dais.
Not you!
Bjorn stopped in his tracks. For a moment, he thought he must have misheard. The entire chapter was assembled, waiting, watching, their curiosity running like startled deer.
Lord, I do not...
Bjorn felt a sudden sickness. Russ did not falter. even though his face was grey.
Not you.
There were no more words. The Primarch turned away and strode down the length of the hall. His retinue, his wolf guard, fell into line behind him, and the ranks of the Space Wolves parted again to let him pass. Bjorn remained on the high dais, alone now, frozen by the command. He watched Russ go, striding again, his huge frame animated. All weariness seemed to have dropped from him, and his shoulders rolled, his spine was straight. Even then, Bjorn considered disobeying. He considered racing after his Primarch, demanding to know why he was left behind, alone of the retinue, and what new vision had seized the Primarch's impulsive mind. The two of them had quarreled before, and there had always been reconciliation. If he was at fault, if there was some way in which he had erred, there would be a path back from it. Russ had always been a hard master, but not a cruel one. In time, there would be a reckoning. Russ would return after his own good measure, and then all would be explained. The Primarch had made impulsive decisions before, and this would be no different. So Bjorn did not force the issue. Trusting that the vision would be revealed, he let his master leave without asking why. But as he watched Russ duck under the archway and pass from the hall, the nausea did not shift, and the cold wind scraped across the stone. They took him down through the winding ways of the Fang, his body escorted at all times by warriors of the great companies. The need for haste was paramount, so his suspenser bier was taken down through the thoroughfares, the great vertical shafts running from the summit of the mountain down to its ice-gripped roots. As the bier made its passage, mortal thralls gathered in murmuring crowds, their faces drawn with a mix of hope and trepidation. Some cried out of fate for his deliverance, or made clenched fist salutes, or fell to their knees in grief. The bier plunged further, and the ways became hotter. The stone tinged red, the air thick with promethium fumes. The emblems changed from sigils of hunting packs to those of the gods of iron, from the axe to the hammer. By the time they reached the deep forges, the ancient Sledgek Blademaker was waiting for them. His armor was just as it always had been, dark as pitch, crusted with the residue of 100 campaigns, crowned with servo arms that clasped and clanged like war trophies. Cargrim and Winterclaw brought Bjorn before the Iron Priest, treading along a wide causeway that jutted from a frothing sea of magma. The interment hall at the causeway's end was vast, its roof soaring away up into the heart of the mountain. Deep shafts around the rock shelf glowed with primordial fire, flaring and spitting up the bare stone. Heavy machinery from the dawn of the Imperial Age studded the platform's boundary, red-lined, huge, growling with coiled power. Ranks of iron thralls, their faces hidden behind thick metal masks, lined the radial gantries spanning the fire lake. As Bjorn's suspenser casket drew up before him, the Blademaker bowed, his hands already clasping the tools that would reshape and reform the broken corpse.
What do you say? Can it be done?
Sledgek studied the bloodied mass for a long time, his helm lenses clicking as ocular instruments made measurements.
I remember the first time I laid eyes on him. Just another hot blood. Eyes bright from killing, swaggering around my forge, hunting for weapons. He was one-handed then, bereft of a claw. I sent him away. He took one anyway.
Sledgek leaned over, gently pulling at the flesh on the bier, his armor's oculi whirring the whole time.
I thought he'd be dead within days. I thought I'd outlive him, just as I outlived all the others. Even now, I would prefer to be wrong about that.
His servo arms got to work. Iron thralls pushed forward, inserting metal spurs into the suspenser bier. The flames in the shafts below swelled, splashing heat against the chamber walls. From behind Blademaker, where nine columns of stone loomed in close ranks, chains clanked, then pulled taut. A chasm yawned open, gouting steam as pistons slid to full extension.
His hearts are beating. His spirit clings on. You have worked wonders here, Fleshmaker.
Winterclaw said nothing, but withdrew with Cargrim to let the iron thralls get in close. Slejek looked like some massive iron spider, hunched over its prone prey, servo arms extended, ready to pick the remains apart. His servants began to drone, to intone archaic rites of appeasement to the gods of the machine, of the anvil, of the angry world's heart. Once the chasm had opened fully, more chains clanked tight, each one the width of a man's wrist. Crimson effluent spilled out from the void below, seething across blackened stone. Engines thrummed into gear, and something began to rise, hauled up from the uttermost depths, out of the silent vaults from where no light or heat ever came.
The finest tool, nothing else.
Slejek, now engrossed in his preparatory work, hacked up a scornful laugh.
All my tools are the finest.
A drill extended from his leading servo arm.
But fear not, there has never been one like this.
As his words echoed around the forge chamber, the empty outline of a dreadnought chassis emerged from the shaft, gripped by 8 chain mines. It was massive, a hunk of adamantium and ceramite, blocky, angular, doggedly indestructible. As Slejek had promised, it was superlative. Its front panels were studded with gold images. A rearing wolf, a fork of lightning, all in fine knotwork tracery, the equal of any ancient Slayer King's barrow. Everything about it was exquisite, the pinnacle of the ironworker's art, hewn with a heavy hammer, but finished with the artisan's eye. Winterclaw knew enough of the Iron Priest's craft to see that nothing of the like would ever be made again. This was the last of the machines laid down before the lore of Mars had begun to fade, and when Slejek died, there would be none built to rival it. As the empty chassis was swung over on its chain harness, the interment machines throttled up into life, and the army of robed thralls bore up their sacred vessels. Lines of incense-tinged steam coiled up into the firelit heights, and Winterclaw and Cargrim pulled back to the causeway, knowing that Bjorn had now passed out of their power to preserve. He would either return as one of the entombed, or this would be his final battle, surrounded by the angry glow of the forges. Winterclaw was about to turn away when more machinery was hauled up by the chains, twisting and clanking in the ash-flecked air. He paused, gazing up at what Blademaker had chosen to drill onto the Dreadnought's outer skin.
Ah, then. That is fitting.
Cargrim watched the weapon arm sway over the platform, guided now by a dozen augmetic hands. Even deactivated, the long talons glinted eerily, as if itching to flex.
That is no ordinary claw. How long has he kept that down here?
It is the Great Wolf's weapon. Perhaps he knew the day would come.
The two of them turned and went back the way they had come, pursued by the echoing noise of metal being sheared, beaten, and cut. Somewhere, amid all the chanting and welding and hammering, the mortal remains of Bjorn lay in all their bloody vulnerability. Before the day was done, those fluids and organs would be decanted into new harnesses, fused to the reactor power heart of a dreadnought.
I cannot imagine it yet. I would not know how to address him.
Winterclaw snorted.
The same as we ever did, if we do at all. The fell-handed. The Great Wolf.
The hunt for Russ went on for years. One by one, the great companies left the Fang, pushing deeper into the void with every new attempt, spending longer out in the emptiness, taking more risks, following up less promising leads. The mood of them changed. In the early days, the Jarls had laughed about the honor of finding the Primarch, thinking of the moment when they would return in triumph, Russ at their side, and bearing the spoils of whatever quest he had accomplished. It took a long time for those laughs to die away, and for the thought, the terrible thought, to take root. that he wasn't coming back. Bjorn had not been on those first missions. He had remained in the towers on the mountain, telling himself that he would hear the news of the Primarch's return at any stage. Whenever he closed his eyes, all he saw was the grey face of his master on that final night. And all he heard were the words,
"Not you!"
The chapter had not only lost its gene sire, it had lost his entire retinue, the Primarch's Wolfguard, the finest and the best of Fenris. No decisive mark of their void trajectory ever leaked back, and so all they had were distorted stories from unreliable sources, leads that soon went cold or sent them on fruitless quests into the obscure reaches of the Imperium. It was a time of change. The last of the traitors had been harried back to the Eye, and 100,000 worlds were being resettled. Adeptus Mechanicus' explorator fleets were forging new paths into the dark, searching obsessively for knowledge lost in the years of fire. The new Imperial Guard was raising garrison after garrison, marching out in battle groups almost as huge as those of the Great Crusade. The old legions had their own rebuilding to do. Gilliman's sons in the remnants of their brutalized Star Empire, the Lions pursuing their own occluded purposes, the Angels taking out their rage on new enemies, the Xenos, the Witch. All of those armies had already lost their masters, and so had little sympathy for the barbarians of Fenris, who had once thought themselves watchers over the faithfulness of them all. In the end, Bjorn had not been able to resist. He had taken a ship, half believing that he alone would be worthy to track down the Primarch's spoor. He had travelled further than any other, skirting the edge of known space, plumbing the insanity where the abyss met the ether, taking his ships beyond the light of the Astronomicon to where the stars themselves burned with strange fires. In his heart, of course, he guessed the truth. Russ had known he was not coming back. Why else would he have said what he had said? Already, those words were being engraved on tablets in the dusty vaults of Imperial scriveners, ossifying into legend with terrifying speed. For all the Imperial populace venerated the memory of the Primarchs, in truth, many were glad to see them slip into the past, to become something they could worship in the abstract without fearing that they would once again rise up to unleash a tangible terror. By the time he returned to the Hearthworld, Bjorn had heard all the stories. He had heard that Russ sought out the Lion to make amends for their old feuding, that he fought in eternal combat with a resurrected cadaver of Horus, that he searched for the Tree of Life to heal the Emperor's soul, that he was imprisoned in the heart of a hollow sun and tormented by his old adversary, Magnus, that he had passed beyond the boundaries of space and time and now roamed among the gods, ready to return when needed, accompanied by the fallen of his legion, sundered in a paradise of warriors. Bjorn came back to Fenris in the depths of Hellwinter, when the world shivered in the iron grasp of kilometer-thick ice, and the flanks of the mountain creaked and snapped like old bones. He strode up through the empty halls of the Valguard, the torches burning low and drear, and entered the Primarch's old chambers at the very summit. Though he had done it 100 times before, he paced and rummaged through what had been left behind, kicking through the dust. By then, there was nothing to retrieve. Russ had left no books, no records, no vid captures of his final thoughts. The chambers were spare, ringing with emptiness, the air tasting of burned-out embers. For many hours he was undisturbed. In the end, only one came to disturb his torpor, a warrior as young as Bjorn had been at the outbreak of the heresy, inducted into the chapter with no memory of the old legion, only a zeal for the new order, a burning desire to prosper in a new Imperium of high lords and inquisitors. So it was that Thrain, the one they called Winterclaw, stood under the open archway leading into Russ's empty rooms, glaring openly at the fell-handed.
"What do you want?"
Bjorn flexed the lightning claw that had become his totem.
"They say you are back for good, Lord. I came to see if they spoke right."
Bjorn shook his head dismissively and resumed his trawl through what little remained of Russ's belongings. He barely knew the name of the wolf before him, only that he had been marked for the priesthood and would take his training under the eyes of the fleshmakers.
That does not concern you,
whelp. Go back to your slabs.
Winterclaw remained where he was.
And I came to speak sense to you, since no others will.
Bjorn's head snapped up and his talons twitched.
Go now. Or do you wish me to give you a lesson in pain?
You could not harm me more than you harm yourself. It cannot go on.
For a moment, disbelief stopped Bjorn replying. Then he took a lone stride towards Winterclaw, bringing his claw into range.
If you seek to goad me, you have picked a bad moment.
Winterclaw gazed fearlessly at the rending spikes.
You have been away for a long time. While your ships have been tearing the void, we have been rotting in the cold. End it now, for the love of Russ.
Do not mention that name.
Why not?
Winterclaw's young face was disdainful.
Your heart pined.
Almost before he knew it, Bjorn punched out, catching the younger warrior and cracking him back against the wall. The movement was superb, a shocking display of casual power summoned up from nowhere. No one left alive in the chapter could move like that, and the gap had yawned further since Russ's retinue had gone. Bjorn had always been alone. Now the isolation was aching.
Dare not to make me truly angry.
Bjorn loomed over the reeling outline of Winterclaw.
I would gut you in a heartbeat.
Winterclaw smiled dryly and pushed the claws from his face.
I do not doubt it. This is not about me. You know who gnaws at your soul.
Of course I know! I have known it ever since he chose me.
He shoved Winterclaw away, making the priest's acolyte stagger into a weapon rack bereft of blades. Bjorn whirled around, hurling the detritus of his old master's belongings across the room, smashing the empty scabbards against the walls, lashing out with both fists.
I know what he was doing. He has left his chapter a nursemaid, one to watch over them in his absence. Just one link to the past, to the age that he and his brothers so majestically turned to skitna.
He smashed up another piece of the past.
Da! And of all the many treacheries, that is now the deepest. For I would have followed him into the maw of hell, and he knew it. And he knew that I would not question the order, not until it was too late.
Winterclaw got back to his feet, watching soundlessly as Bjorn destroyed what was left of his Primarch's possessions. Bjorn reached for a bag of knuckle bones, the kind used to scry the runes. For a moment he stared at them, remembering a time he had seen them cast across the ritual circle. Then he crushed them in his gauntlet.
And what is this inheritance? Nothing! We have no book of laws. We have no empire. We have no respect. We are feared and we are hated. And that is the legacy of Leman Russ to his people. The galaxy is being reborn around us, and he is nowhere in it.
Winterclaw picked his way closer, carefully.
They are saying the Wolf Lords will go their own way now. There is nothing to hold them together.
Bjorn stopped, his breathing heavy.
Who says this?
It has been whispered in the Fang for years, but you are not here to listen. And now they do not even bother to whisper.
He drew closer, looking at the disarray.
They would listen to you. All know that Russ chose you. We can still follow an order if we know who is giving it.
Lead yourselves.
Why do you think he said nothing to you? Ask yourself, did he ever do anything without reason?
Bjorn paused. The question had haunted him for years. Anything would have been better than that sheer absence. If he had given just one reason, one that he could have understood.
Maybe he did not know where he was going.
That got the sneer it deserved.
They still talk of that night. They say his face was like a specter's. Whatever he had to do, it made him sick.
Bjorn remembered. He remembered his own sickness, as complete as black fever. The hall had been swimming with a dark energy, summoned from some well of fear the wolves had never suspected they had, or had buried, or had given birth to in the arrogance of their great triumph. Bjorn slumped against the wall, his fury spent. He had been angry for years, and it had driven him nowhere but the hollow void. Now, surrounded by the ghosts of a half-empty fortress, all that remained was knowledge. Dreadful knowledge.
He was always trying to draw me in. I was content in the shadow, but the summons would always come. He said he sensed a strange fate for me, the end of which he could not see. So he kept me close, as if he might be able to understand it, if only the firelight was strong about me.
As he spoke, the days of the Great War came back to him, whispering around the gloom of the chamber. He saw the faces of Godsmote, of Twoblade, of Gunnhild. He remembered Prospero burning, its crystal cities shattered, its libraries a haunt of demon avatars. Despite all that had happened afterwards, that had been their greatest battle, the one that would define the chapter thereafter, a victory that was both their glory and their damnation.
I told him we had been deceived. He would not believe it at first, but he could not evade the truth forever. That changed him. The way he killed was different after that.
Winterclaw nudged his boot through the wreckage. He did not look awed by being in the Wolf King's old chamber. He did not look as if he would be awed by anything.
So you say. For me, I cannot. I care not whether Russ went into battle with a song in his heart or whether he wept as he slew.
Bjorn rounded on him, the anger returning so quickly. Winterclaw shouted, preempting the attack, standing defiant.
For he is gone, brother! All of you are gone now, who ran and scampered at the whim of the Sigilite, who brawled with your brothers, who missed the reckoning on terror. Do I mourn that? Why should I? There are more battles now, and if we fight them, free of old men with their minds in the past, then that sits well with me.
Not all of us are gone yet.
Yes, that is right. Just one remains, who skulks around the void, hunting for his old master, begging to have the leash put back on.
Bjorn drew his fist back, clenched for the strike, knowing that killing the whelp would be trivial. Winterclaw made no move. He stared back, provoking, taunting. Slowly, Bjorn lowered his gauntlet. He was being played so easily. Why was that? Had he lost his guile, along with so much else?
You only say this because you were not there.
The new breed, the warriors who had flocked to Azaheim in the rebuilding, how could they know? They had not seen the race of gods turn in on itself. They had not seen the Imperium torn asunder by the literal forces of hell and the glory of the Crusade dissolve into the nightmare of mutual hatred.
And that is why you fight this. That age is over, Jarl. Let it go. You, though...
He fought for the words.
You are one of us. You are Fenrika. You have taken the trials. In that, believe me, you are better than him.
The idea was so stark, so blasphemous, that Bjorn almost laughed out loud. But the whelp was being serious. Winterclaw stood before him, fearless, earnest, his amber eyes steady.
You must be Wolf King now. They will follow no other.
Yet again, they were dragging him into the center. A dozen other Jarls would have taken the honor with both hands, rushing to the annulus, eager for the glory of it. For him, though, the process had been slow, gradual, tectonic, pulling him from the edge, making him stand before the gathered chapter, their eyes on him, waiting, expectant. Had there ever been a time when he could have stopped it?
There was only one Wolf King. There cannot be another.
Then take another title! Think of something new!
Bjorn looked around him. He could feel the force of the arguments hemming him in, trapping him. The chapter would fracture without him. They had looked for Russ for long enough. Something new would have to be found. An accommodation. An evolution. These would be his chambers soon. The dust would be driven out, his own weapons brought in. They would carve his pack markers on the stone. In time, it would be forgotten that the Primarch had ever dwelt there. He sensed the footfalls of fate overtaking him again.
My titles were always given to me.
Give it time. I'm sure the Skulls will come up with something.
The interment took 5 days. During that time, Blademaker did not sleep. His thralls attended him the whole time, approaching with vials of sacred oils and leaving with slopping pans of blood. The forge machines thundered, powering the vast energy banks that kept Bjorn's life intact while his body was disassembled, rearranged, remade. Cargrim and Winterclaw were the only souls from outside Sledgek's own retinue the Iron Priest suffered to remain in the chamber. The three lords met at the close of each arduous day when Sledgek would give them his assessment of the work. Each time, Winterclaw would ask the same thing.
He lives yet.
Each time, Sledgek's reply was the same, though there was never confidence in it.
He lives.
On the final day, the thralls were banished. The lake of magma burned sullenly, robbed of the fury that had accompanied Bjorn's arrival. Cables were withdrawn from blood cycler engines. Forges shuddered into silence. The three priests strode across the causeway, deeper into the chamber of fire and iron, under the shadow of the lifting machines and the metal shapers. Blademaker's summons had come in the deep of the night, during the hours reserved for meditation. Cargrim had been engaged in attempts to scry Bjorn's fate, Winterclaw in his gene labs, poring over the lore of the Canis Helix. They had both responded instantly, recognizing the finality, knowing what it meant. They assembled among the stone columns. Bjorn's sarcophagus stood before them, complete, rid of the tubes and unguents that had surrounded it. The weapon arms had been attached, bolted onto the housings during placatory ceremonies. The hatches had been sealed, the faceplate drilled closed, the generator linked to the motive systems. For all that, it was still inert. No lights flickered along its flanks, no smoke coughed from the twin stacks. The slab of metal and gold was as inanimate as the columns that overshadowed it.
He lives yet?
Sledgek's reply was grating from exhaustion.
I know not. Not yet. This is the moment. The mind impulse unit is dormant. I guessed you would wish to be here when I gave the command.
Cargrim ran his eyes carefully over the dreadnought shell.
Any sign?
None. And there is only one way of knowing. Will you give me leave?
Winterclaw looked up at the mighty face of the machine, the rearing wolf, the heavy lightning claw arm, and remembered how it had been with them 300 years ago, in a dusty chamber at the summit of the Fang.
You must be Wolf King now. They will follow no other.
Do it.
Sledgek raised his gauntlet and made a gesture in the air. It wasn't clear what his link to the machine was, but as soon as his armored fingers moved, something changed. The dreadnought systems growled into life. The hiss of pistons gave way to the grind of servos, followed by the throaty judder of the power coils keying up. Winterclaw watched carefully, his Crozius clutched tight. Both his hearts beat hard. Nothing else happened. The machine was activated, ready for movement, but it remained stationary. A gilt screen of blank metal gazed back at them, giving no clue as to the state of the occupant within.
Blademaker, I sense nothing. Is he...
Wait.
Winterclaw felt the hairs on his arms suddenly prickling. The chamber seemed to swell with energy, and the magma in the shafts began to move.
Wait.
The dreams had been long and terrible. Everything had been cold, and for so long. It had not been the cold of Fenris, which for all its terror was a physical thing, but a deeper cold, one that pushed down through the bones and into the mind, cloying it, making it listless and freezing it into nothingness. In those dreams, he relived the deeds of the past in succession, the images marching past him as he remained motionless, cast adrift on a sea of pain. He saw the bad star falling from the skies of Fenris long ago, and felt the wind on his face as he raced to meet it. He saw the demon creature on Prospero as the spires burned around them, and heard it call out his wrong name. He saw the claw from Hierophanacle's forge, and saw himself using it against Alpharius's snakes. He saw the final run to terror, the dark warships of the First Legion alongside them, and the first sight of the throne world, wreathed in flames like ribbons of heart's blood. He saw Russ in the ruins of the Imperial Palace, the debates, the arguments, then the long journey back to Fenris, and the dawning of the new age. And then, last of all, he heard the words again, and they still had the power to kindle the fury, the bewilderment, the grief.
Not you!
He reached out to Russ, to haul him back, to stop him leaving the hall, but his grip fell short. He stumbled. He hit the stone floor, blood in his mouth. There was a lurch, like the world falling away from him, tumbling into the abyss over and over. Pain came back, rushing, hammering. He felt his eyes open again, the lids scraping over the whites. Except there were no eyes. He opened his mouth to scream, but there was no mouth. Just the agony, boiling through the few veins he still possessed. He clenched his fist, and something that was not his fist moved, heavy as bars of adamantium, massive, disconnected. A veil was lifted. Colors, sensations, stinks and sounds all came rushing back at him, bulging through nerve ends, spilling across his psyche in starbursts. He screamed again, and the sound shocked him. A machine roar, amplified, echoing, resounding as if he were buried alive within it. He tried to move, to lift an arm, to take a stride, and felt the world reel around him, heavy with inertia. He heard shouts in a language he knew and wondered if he had died indeed, and this was now the underverse where the ghosts sighed. Then the colors resolved themselves. Deep blacks, reds. Three lords of Fenris stood before him, clad in the battle plate of warriors. For a moment, he thought they were his judges, the choosers of the slain, come to take him back to Russ's side. But then they bowed, all of them, sinking to their knees and offering obeisance. He wanted to shout at them, to demand to know what was happening. But then the full horror began to assert itself, and he remembered the beast, the moors, the ash plates of Morelion. One of the bowing figures stood up again. Bjorn knew him, Winterclaw, the priest's whelp. Though no longer a whelp, and now wearing the sacred rune marks of the chapter's elect.
You are returned to us, Lord.
And then Bjorn knew truly what had taken place. He flexed his muscles and felt fiber bundles twitch. He turned his head and felt the weight of slabbed shoulders shift. His vision was a multi-hued riot of false color, mediated by targeting systems for weapons that were now as much a part of himself as his hearts, his lungs, his residual flesh. The chamber around him rang with fire and noise. They were saying more things, trying to get close to him, He heard summons. There would soon be more of them, crowding the chamber, ready to offer fealty, laying their weapons before him, just as the barbarians of the ice did for their chiefs. In that instant, he understood the lesson of the Hall of Warriors. It was the grief that had kept his spirit shackled to his corpse. It was the fury, burning, star-hot over so many years, that made him cling to life with such tenacity. It was resentment that meant he could never leave the mortal earth as a warrior should, never take his place in the halls of the slain. They had used it. They had brought him back. Russ had told him once that he could not see Bjorn's fate. So, stubborn to the end, the Primarch had fashioned it for him, locking Bjorn into guardianship of the chapter that he himself had abandoned.
This is eternal.
He felt the raw, unmatchable power of the Dreadnought flood through him.
I can never leave. I can never follow him.
More of his brothers were arriving now, offering their salutes, crying out his titles. The Fell-handed, the Great Wolf. They were there in ranks, their weapons held high, a sea of steel grey amid the furnaces, devoted to him in a way that they had never been devoted to anyone before, not even the Primarch, who had not been born on Fenris, and who had been more god to them than Jarl.
This is eternal.
And so, as they cheered, as their joy spilled out into the vaults of Blademaker's kingdom, Bjorn lifted his new head, opened his new vox-amplified throat, threw wide the new lightning claw, and howled.
Iceclaw, by Ben Counter, performed by Toby Longworth and Peter Noble.
So, Uli Iceclaw, I hear you gave a good day's battle. I wish I had witnessed it myself. The fight for Alaric Prime will demand many such days from all of us.
My thanks, Wood Priest. But you did not call me forth to congratulate me. Ulrich the Slayer does not give his time to such small talk.
I do not. And you know why I must speak with you.
About Lord Ragnar.
You were at his side. You saw it all. It is my duty as senior wolf priest to examine the conduct of all space wolves, even the wolf lords. Or rune priests like yourself.
Of course. And yet, the consequences of what I witnessed do not sit easy with me.
I will deal with the consequences. Think only of the truth.
Very well. The Greenskins had come at us not just on the ground, but from the air. We held a ridge of ruins and shell craters. A whole tribe of greenskins was arrayed against us. Tens of thousands of them seethed towards us in waves, as if the foothills had become an ocean of greenskin flesh. The Cadians held our flank and fended them off with lasfire, as we did the same with our bolters. And at the heart of our line stood Wolflord Ragnar Blackmane.
Space wolves! The orc is cunning and without number, but he is still an animal. He has but one tactic in this battle, to spend the lives of his fellow greenskins to find a weak point in our line. But he will not find it where the sons of Fenris hold their ground. And you, men of Cadia, they will not find it where you stand either, for there walks the Scorched Knight.
Dairos Kalander, the Scorched Knight. He alone had stood proud of the knightly house's politics and pledged himself and his war machine to the fight when their first orcs landed. Ragnar Blackmane saw in Kamata a fellow hunter and asked that the Scorched Knight fight alongside him in person.
The Greenskins thought they would find good hunting on Alaric Prime, Lord Blackmane. But now an Imperial Knight stands alongside Space Wolves and Guardsmen of Cadia, and none of us are used to being the prey.
For every Imperial